For those that know this, sing along with me. I know this is an invitation hymn, but why do invitation hymns only have to be sung during an invitation? There's no rule that says that. The song that says, "Search me, O God." Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Isn't that a beautiful hymn? And what it does is it, as we come in on a Sunday morning, you're coming in off a week, and if any of you had a week like I had, or better, it was probably a pretty busy week. And it was all you could do to get around, to get everything done to where you can get to the point where you can actually fix yourself up to come in on a Sunday morning. For the ladies, the guys, we don't fix ourselves up. We just do what we do every day. And then on Sunday, we're handed an outfit that says, "Here, put this on." And you put that on and you just come along, right? But if you've had a week like that, sometimes it helps just to say, "All right, Lord, I'm clearing it all out. I'm forgetting everything that I got to do. And I just need to focus on what's going to take place today." There are a lot of pressures. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of guilt even. And everything that we're loaded down with during the week. And when we come in here, it's very important that we set all that aside. Just for a moment. God's got this. He can take care of those things. And then let's just hear what the Holy Spirit has for us this morning. You never know. We might learn something. I learn something every day. Every day God teaches me something. Brother Mark, come show us the way.
We'll start out by turning on the microphone. Hopefully this is working here. Hey, I was thinking about the lyrics of that song. I have no idea who wrote that. But I wonder if it was inspired by Psalm 139. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Wow, that's kind of a scary thought. Let me read that again. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Our heart, the innermost things that only we know about. We're asking God to take a look inside there. "Try me and know my..." You know, anybody know the next word? "Try me and know my thoughts." I heard it. Yes, thoughts. Thoughts. Thoughts are private unless we lack self-control, and they come out sometimes. But we're asking God to search and know our heart and our thoughts. That's kind of a scary proposition, isn't it? I wonder if I've ever actually prayed that and meant it. I don't know. Hopefully I have, but I'm not sure. Let's read on. "And see if there be any..." Do you know the next word? "Wicked way in me." Mr. Dan, that is a rather sobering song, isn't it? Sobering song. Well, thank you all for being in Victory Bible Class today. It's good to see you. You know, instead of me going over birthdays and anniversaries at the first, how about if I ask for volunteers? Who's got an anniversary coming up this week? Let's see if anybody... Well, first of all, I guess we're seeing if anybody remembers, and then we'll see if anybody's going to be honest about it. Nobody wants to volunteer, huh? All right, this is your last chance. Any birthdays? Anybody want to volunteer for your birthday? No volunteers? Well, let's check the record and see what we got. Some of y'all getting ready to be shocked, I think. Well, I guess I was wrong. There's no anniversaries this week. I guess I'm the one that's shocked. How about that? Birthdays. You know what? There's no birthdays this week either. So I'm the one that's shocked. You all did well. Uh-oh, wait a second. Anniversary? Birthday today. Happy birthday today. All right, thank you for taking me off the hook, man. I was feeling pretty bad there for a moment. Oh, boy. I do not have the prayer list. Did we have anything on the prayer list on the table? Oh, yes. Angie's back in the hospital. Did you put that down?
I did not. She
went
in Friday.
Okay. Make sure you do that before you leave. Okay. Pray for safety and traveling. Okay. All right. All right. I guess that's it. John chapter 9. We'll have a verse of the day. I'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll look at a verse of the day from John 9. And again, welcome to Victory Bible Class. Thank you for being here today. Hope this will be a blessing to you. And we'll pray and then look at a verse, and then Mr. Dan will come bring our lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day that you gave to us. Thank you for giving us another day of life. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you that it's available to anyone who will call on you and ask for it. And thank you for what you did for us when you died on the cross, buried, and rose again. The gospel, as Paul presents in 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you for doing that for us. Thank you for loving us. Agape love. A love with no strings attached. And all-encompassing love. Thank you for doing that for us. Thank you for this class. And we do want to pray for the one traveling that was on a prayer list, that you would bless them. I want to pray for Angie back in the hospital. Bless her with good health, and may she be able to come home quickly and get her problem fixed up. And thank you for her and what she means to our class here. And as I think about the other things that are not new, but they're on our prayer list, there's a lot of heavy hearts here this morning because of things on the prayer list, things of illness, and there's decisions that people need to make, and there's family members that have issues and all kinds of things. So, Lord, help us to always remember where we can come when we have problems. As we looked at prayer a little bit last week, and we know you're waiting, willing, and eager for us to come and just be with you and fellowship with you in this thing that we call prayer. And I pray that we would all of us be involved in that every single day. So bless our time here together again, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we did talk, we mentioned prayer, and I hope that, you know, we all spend some time in prayer. And I got to thinking something I probably should have said. We were talking about prayer frequency, and maybe as a starting point for prayer frequency, I'm going to start a Bible verse. I'll stop and let you guys finish it, so yell it out. Don't be shy. Give us this day. So that's a prayer that Jesus was giving, and he was saying we're to ask for bread how often? Well, daily. It says daily in there. So maybe as a starting point, as a baseline, we should pray how often? Daily. Maybe as a starting point. That doesn't mean we can't pray multiple times during the day. We can do that. I find myself doing that a lot. I'll encounter a problem maybe at work, and it may be a short prayer. Lord, you need to help me through this. I need some wisdom. Or somebody pulls out in front of me, I slam the brakes on, don't hit them, and I got to stop and give a prayer of thanks. We can pray multiple times in the day, but I think maybe wouldn't daily be at least a baseline to start with prayer. So let's make sure we are in prayer and in the Word, in the Bible each day. All right, well, John chapter 9, we've looked at a couple of verses. Let me give you something that happened in 2007, August of 2007. It caused $125 billion worth of damages. There were over 1,800 lives lost. It was a natural disaster that happened here in the United States. August 2007, what was it? I know that's a while back to remember. $125 billion in damage. 1,800 lives were lost. Yes. And what was Katrina? A hurricane. Y'all remember that now, right? And where did it primarily hit? New Orleans. I used to work in New Orleans, and I always wondered, like, oh, come on, it can't be that bad. But when you realize you are literally down below the ocean, I mean, when you see it with your eyes, not pictures on TV, or when you actually see it, you go, I get it now. I get how this could happen. Absolute disaster. I mean, I remember seeing the pictures on the news and stuff. I'm sure all of you guys do as well. In September of 2022, just a few weeks ago, we had another hurricane hit, didn't we? What was his name? Yeah. And where did he hit? Mainly Fort Myers and the surrounding area. It says $50 billion in damages. And there weren't as many fatalities, about 120 or so that they know of. There's still some people unaccounted for, but just tragic events. And I don't know if you guys remember back during the time of Hurricane Katrina, but I can remember hearing from politicians, and I can remember hearing from preachers, and I can remember hearing from just people in general. You're just out and about. That the reason that Hurricane Katrina hit where it did was God's judgment coming upon the city of New Orleans. Do y'all remember that? You can go out. I did this past week. You can go out and do a Google search. If you type in Hurricane Katrina judgment, just type that in, and you look at what all it comes back with. And the internet's not, today it's more advanced than what it was then. But you'll be shocked at what you saw, at what people were saying back then. That was the reason that hurricane hit. Now, I used to work in New Orleans, and all of us know certain things about that particular city. And we know that there's wickedness and evil and sin everywhere. And perhaps, I don't know, perhaps they have an overabundance of it. But it bothered me back then in 2007 when I kept hearing people that presumed to know the mind of God and knew what God was doing in something, and they called it judgment. It's amazing to me that essentially the same hurricane hit a few weeks ago in Fort Myers, and you don't hear a word about it. Because Fort Myers is viewed as more of a clean city. And in verse 3 of John chapter 9, disciples had asked Jesus a question before in verse 2. Remember, they gave Jesus options. A man is born blind, and they said it's got to be because either he sinned or his parents sinned. That's the reason for the blindness. We've got it narrowed down to those two. We just don't exactly know which one. And so Jesus is going to come and, you know, pick choice A or B and let us know. And that's the scenario for verse 9. And to their horror, Jesus answered, verse 3, neither. Man, that first word, when he said that first word, that must have just cut them deep. Because they knew that something was getting ready to come out of his mouth that was going to contradict what they had just said in verse 2. However, notice Jesus did this very kindly. Remember, the disciples got under his skin all the time. I mean, they were always doing, I hate to say stupid things. I hate to use the word stupid, but the disciples were always, man, they if we had been Jesus, we would have gotten irritated with them a lot. But Jesus never did. He responded correctly every single time. How do we respond to people in our lives who irritate us? Well, Jesus said neither. And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. So he just took the two options they gave him and knocked them off the table. They pitched Jesus a softball. You know what he did? He knocked it out of the park. He said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. And then he gave him the correct answer, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, one quick note. We always want to read and study the Bible within something called context. I could take this verse, lift it out, and quote it without context and teach a very weird doctrine. I could say, well, Jesus said that there were three people that had never sinned. They had no sin in their life. They walked around perfect, never did anything, never transgressed at all. He said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. If I lifted that out, and I could build a very weird doctrine on that, because somebody give me a verse that talks about sin in the human race. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, you know that. And there's many other verses. So that's just a side note here, a little quick money trail. We always read and study the Bible within context. But you know what? The disciples, just like with Hurricane Katrina, the disciples presumed to know why God had done something or not done something, and they were wrong. And Jesus straightened them out here in verse 3. He did it kindly, but he straightened them out. And I wonder sometimes, how often when something bad happens to an individual, a people group, a town, a city, a family, how often are we very judgmental in looking at that event and saying, oh, I know why that happened to them. I know why that happened to her. That family's been hit hard. I know why. We presume a lot sometimes, don't we? And, you know, the thing is, our knowledge is very finite. We have no idea what God is doing behind the scenes sometimes. And we see that so clearly in John 9, verse 3. So I guess our thought for the day out of John 9, 3, let's respond to people in kindness, in love, in compassion. Let's not presume when something bad happens that we automatically know why it happened, because sometimes we may be wrong. Mr. Dan?
Amen. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Mark. I appreciate that. That was good. Real quick, before we continue, there's two things I need to mention. And I know that we've had a lot thrown at us today, but Miss Donna Campbell, will you raise your hand, please? That lady right there needs some help. And what we're going to do this year for Christmas, how many have been to the Founders Park in Johnson City during Christmas time? Will you raise your hand? Have you seen it? How many saw it? Was it last year that had snow, or the year before last had snow all over the trees? It was beautiful. We have an opportunity this year, and we have purchased, if you would, a Christmas tree that will be in that park. So all the trees that you see in there are usually, they're sponsored by a business or a church, and we would like to get the word out and also be a good testimony. And so we have a Christmas tree for this year, but we do need some help with that. And one of the things that we told Miss Donna, and I'll just be transparent with you, the staff said, that's a great idea and it's a wonderful thing, but we can't help you with that this Christmas, because during that time our plate is very full. And so being just transparent and honest with her, but she felt that that's something that the Lord laid on her heart to carry through. And so, we told her this, we can't help you physically, but we can help you promote it and get the word out. And hopefully there'd be somebody in this room that would have some time. She only needs four people to help when it comes right down to it. There's very little putting together and different things like that, but it has to be done right. It has to be done, and it has to be windproof, snowproof, rainproof, and all other proofs, kidproof, and different things like that. And so she's very organized. She's got it all thought out and well planned. And so please, if you could help, see her today would be great, and she's got some information as far as there's only a couple dates that we'd have to show up and get it done, and it has to be at specific times. And the other thing is, she needs somebody to climb a ladder. So if you cannot climb a ladder, you can still help, but not for that part. All right, a 40 footer? I think she needs 10 to 12 foot. So 10 to 12 foot plus your height. All right. The other thing is, yes, ma'am. I tell you what, do we have that mic?
I took it back.
You already took it back. All right. Go ahead, Ms. Doris. Right where you're at, you can stand and turn around, or you can come up here and preach, whichever one you want. She told me this is not my forte, but and I'll hold this up for you, all right? Go right ahead.
Church shut-ins. Our church shut-ins and members in our nursing homes, the gift boxes are being prepared for them. And so we're asking you to participate, either in buying specific items, because these are going to be uniform, or and also to help in the delivery of these boxes. We have about 26 to be delivered, 19 shut-ins and 7 nursing home residents. And each gift is going to include a homemade or a handmade quilt that Ms. Bobby Briggs, a group that Bobby leads in one Saturday each month. And included in the boxes are going to be homemade apple butter and jelly, soup mix that'll be easily prepared just with hot water, crackers, cocoa mix, breakfast bars, fruit cups, cookies, peppermint candy.
I'm trying to make a good Vanna White.
You're doing good. Make us look good. Lotion, a calendar, a journal provided by the church, chapstick, and of course chewing gum. But we need some more items, so I have an envelope that if you can put some dollar bills in or whatever at the, after this is over, because we still have to buy quite a bit more things. If you buy some items to bring in yourself, have them here by Sunday, November 19th. Then also we're going to put some fresh fruit in these, and this will need to be brought in by Wednesday, December 7th. Delivery, they will be ready on December 10th, which is a Saturday, but they will need to be delivered within 3 days just because of the fresh fruit being in them. We have the addresses. I have this right here. It's a list of all the recipients. So we have addresses, phone numbers. If you're willing to take one, if you'll see me about that. And or Danny and Shirley Jenkins, they lead the shut-in ministry, and they will give you information and maybe directions to their house.
All righty. Thank you.
Great job for not liking to do that. You did a great job. Nancy Brinkley, how many know Nancy Brinkley in our church? For many years, she did this by herself, on her own, never said much about it. And it, as with other things that she did around the church, it got to the point where it was too much for her. So she has reluctantly handed this off. And some ladies in the church have taken this and they're running with it and they're doing a great job with it. And if it's something that you feel that the Holy Spirit would have you also help with, by all means, see Ms. Doris. We might need to turn it up just a tad. Not that I want to hear myself, but I'm being told in the back that they're straining to listen. And I don't know if it's a heart matter or if it's just they can't hear. Carmen was helping me out. That's why I'm teasing her back there. She's doing this. Just to kind of give us an idea of where we're at, we are studying the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In specific, we're talking about the filling with the Spirit
And we described being filled with the Spirit as, I've done this a couple times, there's a purpose for doing this. It is a conscious, constant, and complete surrender to God's will. And also a dependence upon the Spirit's power to live the Christian life for the purpose of producing fruit of souls, fruit of empowered ministry, fruit of victory over temptation, and fruit of the Spirit. That is the definition of being filled with the Spirit. Now, last week we got into the blessings of being Spirit-filled. What does it mean? How does it benefit us? How does it show up when we are walking in the Spirit and we are living a life that is Spirit-filled? We are going to experience supernatural victory over the desires of our flesh. We spoke about how that there is a joy for singing. There's a song in your heart, a spring in your step. That's those happy, shiny people that you can't stand on Sunday morning that walk in and don't have a care in the world, or so we think. But what they do have is the joy of the Lord. And it's not that they don't have trouble. It's not that they don't have problems. But they have the joy of the Lord because of having been walking in the Spirit. There's also, you experience a spirit of thankfulness. We live in a very negative world, a very ungrateful world. And one of the largest reasons for that is because we lived in a spirit void world. We don't want to be that way. We want to be Spirit filled. We want to be the individual that is grateful for what we have. Not that we don't desire other things, or not that we don't want to succeed or don't want to better ourselves. We're not talking about that. We're talking about wherever God has placed you, you're content with where God has placed you, and you're thankful to Him. And you're thankful to Him that we did not experience the hurricane that they experienced. You thank God and you pray for others because of that. You experience also a supernatural spirit of submission to others. Now that one was not very comfortable to talk about. And that is submission to others. Not just wives to husbands, but husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents, employers, all God-ordained authority. That applies to everyone, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 5. You also experience a supernatural love in marriage. And I love marriage. Marriage was instituted by God way back when He first decided that He wanted to have relationship with man. And he designed marriage. It's a godly thing. It's a wonderful thing. The folks around us can poo-poo it all they want and try to downplay it and try to mock it and make fun of it and make light of it. But marriage is a wonderful thing. I'm 32 years into it, and I'll sign up for 32 more with the same woman. And I recommend it. And it's the God way. And it's okay. And you say, well, Brother Dan, you must live a blissful, happy, married life. Happy wife, happy life. Amen? And you keep her happy. No, I'm just teasing there. It's not without our issues and our problems. You take two different people from two different backgrounds, slap them together for life or till death do you part, there's going to be friction. And there will be friction. But that's okay. We call it intense fellowship, and it works. It brings out the quirks and the bugs, and you learn how to work through things. You know, there's a reason why I turn all my clothes inside out when I throw them in the dirty laundry hamper. And it may be a quirk that I carried from when I was young, but it doesn't matter. She goes along with it, and she hangs them up inside out for me to figure out, you know. It's that's what I get. Right? It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I recommend it. So a supernatural love in marriage. We experience a supernatural love of Christ for God and believers and the lost and all men. We experience a supernatural leadership by the Spirit. These are all things we talked about last week. And then a supernatural boldness and power for witnessing. Ephesians 3:16, the Bible says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. It continues the thought that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that a beautiful portion of Scripture? Supernatural strength for our new nature. I often tell someone, and just 2 weeks ago we had a young lady sit in this room, and she came back yesterday. She still got that same smile on her face that came to her countenance when she accepted Christ as her Savior at the end of service 2 weekends ago in this room. She prayed out loud in front of God and everybody. She said, "Dear Lord," and just out loud. I mean, can you imagine that? And she got saved. And I often tell everyone that gets saved, I said, listen, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, as you are now in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you know how difficult it is when we first get saved? And for some of us, we were saved when we were young. Others of us were saved as we got older. But all that information that has been poured into you from birth on, all the experiences, life's experiences, and how you felt you needed to react to those, all that is being tried and tested at the moment of salvation. Because when you're saved, the Bible says you're a new creature. And oftentimes, a new believer will try to live a new life with old information. And if you use old information and old experience and old knowledge or intelligence to live this new life in Christ, you will frustrate yourself. And so it's very important for us as believers, if we're dealing with a new believer, to encourage them to learn what it is. The Bible says in Peter, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We have to learn how to grow in grace. We have to learn how to grow in the freedom and the grace that God extends to us as believers, and also in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is something that you have to purposely do as a believer. But what God does here is when you walk in the Spirit, He says, listen, we're going to take care of that for you. And when He says in Ephesians 3:16 that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, where? In the inner man. So that Holy Spirit that permanently dwells the believer, that Holy Spirit is going to strengthen you on the inside to be able to deal with these things, to be able to handle this new life in Christ. Number 10, you also are benefited with a supernatural transformation into Christ-likeness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord. So there is a transformation that takes place with spirit fullness, with walking in the Spirit, with a conscious, constant submission to the will of God in your life. There is a transformation that takes place into Christ likeness. Every day becoming more like Christ as we walk in the Spirit. That, in fact, is the part that you see in the New Testament. In His Word, you see when it talks about and that word, it just flew right out of my brain just now. It was right there at the tip of my tongue. He has the foreknowledge, but then also He predestined. There it is. He predestines us to have certain benefits. And one of those things that God has predestined, or He has pre-planned, or He has pre-scheduled, is that when a believer accepts Christ as their Savior, a person for the first time, then He predestines that individual to be Christ-like. And that is done through the Holy Spirit and His fullness. And it's a wonderful thing. Number 11, supernatural assurance of salvation. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24 says, "He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us." How do we know? By the Spirit which He hath given us. If we're not quenching the Spirit, then that Spirit that He has given us is going to reaffirm and going to remind us of the fact that we're saved. We're saved. There's probably not an individual in this room that wouldn't raise their hand and say, at one point in your life or another, you experienced a panicky moment where you thought, oh my word, what if I'm not saved? You know, somebody will preach a message on the rapture, and you're like, goodness, if it happens, you make a plan B. You know, when everybody goes out of here, you're like, okay, we ain't taking the mark of the beast, you know. You've experienced that, whether it be when you were younger, or many have experienced as they've gotten older. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes it is when we're not in a really good spot in our life and we've maybe gotten away from God and we're not being Spirit-filled, we're not walking in the Spirit, and there's moments when Satan can come in. I spoke to a lady this week that listens online, and she shared with me how that Satan was just giving her a fit. And I encouraged her with some Bible verses where you can throw it right back at him. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan would want you to believe that he has more power than you. That is not, in fact, the case. Now, in my flesh, I don't. But I have the indwelling, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, that third part of the Holy Divinity that dwells in me, and I can stick my tongue out at Satan. And he's hearing this right now, and I'm begging for it right now when I say this. But I don't care what he thinks. I couldn't care less whether he touts power or not. My God is greater. Amen. And he may try to raise stuff up against us, all around us, with the idea of trying to make us panic and fear and things like that. I'm sorry, not today. Not today. Try another day if you want. but not today. So we have that assurance of salvation. Number 12, and then I must finish. Supernatural prayers by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. And with this we'll end. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Bible says this, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, in this passage, it is often used as an explanation of tongues. We've been speaking about that on Sunday nights. You don't want to miss tonight. Tonight's the big one, all right? Tonight, we get to take a very simple assessment, and it's for you and for your eyes only, and it's just to help you realize and exercise your gift within the body of Christ. But it's often, this verse is often used for the explanation of tongues. The truth is that this passage, not only does it not mention tongues, it specifically states that these are groanings that cannot be uttered. Tongues, or languages in the Bible, are utterances. So it could not possibly mean tongues here. This passage we find refers to the Holy Spirit's prayers for the believer in heaven. So we enjoy the prayer ministry of both the Spirit, and if you noticed the way the verse read, and the Son to the Father in glory. Hallelujah. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing? When there's times that you cannot put together the words to describe how you feel. Everyone in this room has things that they're going through right now. Maybe personal, it may be a little more visible. And sometimes you just don't know how to describe it to the Lord. The Holy Spirit says, don't worry about that. I'm going to take this, and we're going to take it right to where it counts. And they go into the throne room in heaven. And God the Son says He's going to do the same thing. And He takes those thoughts that we can't verbalize, and He takes them and He says, Father, You have a young one here. You have one of yours, one of your very own, that is going through this, and they don't know how to describe it. That is a wonderful, wonderful thought. That is a comforting thought, that when we can't describe it, He takes it to the throne room for us. Father, we love You. Holy Spirit of God, we love You. Son of God, we love You. Thank You for who You are and for what You do. And thank You for the comfort and the assurance and the equipping that You do for every believer. We're very grateful. We're thankful today for what You do. We love You. Use us now for Your honor and for Your glory. And may what we learn here not only go into our ears and into our minds, but Lord, may it go into our hearts and may it come out in our daily walk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. On the way out.